Marcus, for the language literal issue. Do you have a production system that requires that feature?
The language literal?
Yeah, so putting at language in the context. It's issue 29.
Not really, no.
Okay.
I mean, I see that this feature makes sense, but I would say if we just put it into the context, that would be enough for
Okay.
almost every use case.
Okay.
I mean, if you have different languages, the current approach is fine as well, I would say. Because
Okay.
otherwise it gets too complex.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm mostly asking. I mean, I can certainly see the usefulness of the feature. I'm concerned that we're adding too many features to JSON-LD.
Yeah, that might be true, especially for a first version.
Yeah. Yeah, and then especially knowing that we're going to go through, I mean, once we have the specs fairly complete, they're going to go through a W3C working group, and those working groups tend to add features as well. And the one thing I don't want to end up with is this fully, this incredibly expressive language that is so complicated that people start effectively saying, oh, it's, I mean, we had the same thing happen with RDFA. We started putting in these features that people were asking for. And then at the end, the people that asked for the features criticized RDFA for being too complicated.
Yeah.
So it's always more difficult to remove features than to add them. I was just curious. I mean, we'll talk about it later on, but I wanted to make sure that there's like an absolute need for this feature before we put it in there. We can always add it later. So anyway, we'll get around to discussing that, I'm sure.
I mean, but on the other hand, I see it. I think it's more often that the JSON document is just in one language than in different languages. So putting the language into the context actually makes kind of more sense than having that language construct that we have currently with the literal and the language.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm guessing that most JSON data, though, doesn't have a language associated with it. It's just data by itself. That's not to say that it wouldn't be better if it had
a
language.
There is a language that's just one in one document.
Right.
I can say from my perspective, since my data is in RDF originally, and I need this feature because, I have languages all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, I think that most users of JSON have one language per view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So
well,
perhaps we should change the feature to just supporting it in the context in the first version, and then maybe introduce the other feature back again at the later point.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. I think there are one, two, three, there are four of us on the call. Ted said he'd be joining a bit later. Marcus or Nicholas, would either of you mind scribing? Or Alexandra? I don't know which ones have scribed on this call.
Yeah, I've never scribed. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Was that Marcus?
Yeah, it was Marcus.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, so we have our agenda here. Are there any updates or modifications or changes to the agenda, anything that we should be aware of or should discuss other than the four issues that are on the agenda today?
We're just four people, so I think it's enough if we discuss this.
I could suggest if we put the top agenda item at the bottom, perhaps, because Thomas Steiner wrote that he'd prefer to postpone a discussion or at least a resolution because people have to form more solid opinions about it.
Sure, and I guess the only response I have to that is we're not none of our resolutions that we make are binding, right? We're just a community group. We don't, you know, any decision that we make and is going to probably be questioned again once the working group is started. The only reason I wanted to kind of get these issues cleared is because it's going to help us get to the working group stage faster. So
yeah,
I'm fine with moving it to the end of the telco, but I think we just need to make a decision, and then we end up seeing the people that really get upset about it or really have a strong opinion about it. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and move that first issue to the last and take up issue 11 as the first topic. All right, so issue 11, add support for null. And I'll get the link for it here.
That was actually my point, but I didn't have much time to think more about it, to be honest.
Okay. I think for now, I think we shouldn't add it. We should not add support for null. We use null in the framing code, and no one's been able to really say that they can't get something that they want to accomplish done without this feature. So as of right now, I can't see a very strong use case for it. We do have RDF nil, and people can, you know, set up values as RDF nil. But as far as the automatic typing stuff, I think we should just keep null undefined, meaning that null is used in the framing code and it's used in the API to mean certain things. And if we add support for null as meaning something, you know, in RDF or in JSON-LD, then we have a slight amount of ambiguity that's introduced into the spec. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I would like to emphasize also that RDF nil means the empty list.
Yeah, you're right.
We should be careful about mixing those up, I believe.
Is there an XSD null?
No, it's not, I'm quite sure. The possible equivalent would be owl nothing. You know, the set of things disjoint with owl thing, that's
right.
Probably what null could mean. But I don't think that we should add triples. We shouldn't. If there is a null value for some application-specific resource, I think that should be uninterpreted in terms of what that would mean as a triple.
Okay. So sorry, I didn't. So is your proposal that people that want to represent null use owl nothing?
We that's a possible thing, but I mean then we could they could just use nothing or owl nothing in the way we refer to other resources.
Okay.
So I'd support your view that we should defer.
Okay.
Letting null mean anything, only emphasize that we should remember that RDF nil is the empty list.
Right. Okay. Marcus, what are your thoughts on doing that?
I think, I mean, for some use cases, it might be really important to support it, but it's less explicitly now. One thing we could do is to define kind of a JSON vocabulary and have a JSON null.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, such a vocabulary would also help for those round-tripping issues which we currently have with numbers, for example, because they don't really match directly to the XML schema data type.
Yeah.
And another option would be to just say in the current spec that null is currently, it's not specified, not that it is not supported, so just leave it as not specified.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if we say not supported, that, I don't know, some people
okay.
might look for it and, yeah, that also prevents us from using it in later specs.
Right. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, if we look at what null means from an application-specific point of view, it reasonably means I don't have a value for this. Say my name is null, then any data about my name is missing from the data store.
Mm-hmm.
But from an open world RDF point of view, that's the same as not saying anything, because not giving the property name or saying name null seems to mean I don't know if
mm-hmm.
I have a name.
Mm-hmm.
So you might perhaps interpret a statement such as name all nothing means that there is no name for me, but that requires that the name is declared as a functional property.
Mm-hmm.
So there
okay.
is much more in the RDF view to be
mm-hmm.
taken care of to be
mm-hmm.
able to support null.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like Alexander, do you have a preference one way or the other on null?
No.
Okay. And Lane?
Not sure yet.
Okay. All right. So for now, I think we can just go ahead and not support null, or basically leave it as undefined. I think that's what people were wanting. So let me put a proposal in here. Let's see. So, proposal. Do not specify, or no. Leave support or keyword in JSON as unspecified. JSON LD. Okay, so leave support for null keyword in JSON LD as unspecified. Does that look like an okay proposal?
Just a quick question.
Uh-huh.
If we then link a context document to an existing JSON representation which uses null, what happens then?
That's a good question. I'm guessing that there are multiple ways that we could in the RDF conversion algorithm. The way that we were thinking of doing it is instead of throwing exceptions for keyword and values that are like keywords that are not defined, so let's say there's no prefix or term defined for that, that value is just ignored. So if a value has null in the JSON LD document, it's just ignored entirely. It's as if you're making no statement about it. I don't know if that's acceptable.
I believe it is.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's unspecified, so let me change that proposal a bit. So leave support for null keyword in JSON LD as unspecified. If a null value is included in a JSON LD document, it is ignored when converting to RDF. To the RDF model. Does that seem reasonable? So if people want a plus one or minus one that.
If it's unspecified, why ignore it? Why specify that it be ignored?
Just because people might be confused as to what to do with it. It's really if anything is not specified, you ignore it. So, for example, if there's a term that isn't specified, instead of raising an exception, we just ignore it. So the general.
No, that's different. That's kind of like the elegant failure of HTML, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's an entity
mm-hmm.
that you don't recognize, you don't process it,
right.
So it disappears. But
right.
that's not to say, that doesn't say when this term appears, ignore it. It says if you don't understand this term, ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
I mean, I guess.
If the support is unspecified, then it's unspecified, and what you choose to do with it is up to you.
Right.
This
and I guess we're trying. Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
This says not that it's unspecified, but that it is it is to be ignored.
Well, I guess we're trying to be a little clearer about it. I mean, we could just say it's unspecified, and it's just to be clear, if null is included in JSON-LE document, it's ignored, just like any term that is not specified or anything else like that that's not specified.
It may be ignored. Unspecified is a very different thing from you shall ignore this.
Hmm.
And if you want to be clear and specify it, then okay, you're specifying something.
Right.
Marcus, that's me, Ted, Mac Ted by Nick.
Okay,
Okay, so we could just make it leave support for null keyword in JSON-LD as unspecified.
Yeah.
That's what you would prefer? Ted?
Yeah, that allows the processor to deal with it as they will, which may be ignoring it or maybe treating it in some way.
Okay. All right. Marcus, Nicholas, that's okay with you?
To ask again, is there some issue with having JSON now, for example?
Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be an issue. It's just ignored, right? Entirely.
Yeah, I think that's good. That also means that if anybody interprets it and JSON-LD would later on specify it, that might break their usage, but they already know that because it is unspecified.
Right. Okay.
But if we would define such a really lightweight ontology or vocabulary or whatever and say null maps to JSON null, do we have any issues with that? I mean, people are then free to use it however they want, but we have no round-tripping issues, and we can map it to RDF.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's another way of approaching it.
I would prefer all nothing, if that's the case.
Well, I guess what Marcus is saying is we're very specific
well,
about what the value
can
is.
Introduce all.
Yeah.
Because it's the same as all nothing, but I would prefer to keep it strictly to JSON than to mix in XML schema all and all that stuff. All
right. Yeah, I mean, I guess the other issue is how you end up normalizing stuff like this, because you don't want this to end up in the normal, just like you don't want terms that are not defined to show up in normalization, you wouldn't necessarily want to have the null values show up in normalization either.
Why not?
Well, just because it's we want to have a simple rule, right? We want to have a fairly simple rule that says if it's undefined, you do not include it when you convert to RDF, and you do not include it when you normalize, right? Then it's fairly clear. Basically, if you don't understand, if the JSON-LD processor doesn't understand what the thing is, it does not include it when it converts to RDF, and it does not include it when it normalizes the data.
Yeah. but if we specify that it resolves to JSON now, so that's concept, then the JSON parser, the JSON, processor understands it.
Well, I mean, if we define it as JSON colon null, then it does end up generating a triple in RDF in the RDF model, and it does end up being included in the normalized byte stream. The problem is that it doesn't really mean anything. The only thing that you know is that there was a value that was JSON null. I don't know what use that is to an application. Right, so until now, I don't think anyone's said, if that were there, then it would be useful to my application for reason X. No one's been able to tell us what that use case is. Right, it's just you knew it was there.
But it's an explicit way to say that there is no value for that attribute. If you just leave the triple away, you don't know if there was even a value, if there is no value, or if you just didn't retrieve that triple.
Yeah, but at the same point, I mean, in RDF, as Nicholas said, it's a meaningless statement, right? It doesn't exist. The value doesn't exist. The other way to look at it is the value does exist and it's null.
It's the empty set, which our nothing represents.
But I think there's a difference between JSON null and the empty set. I think what Marcus is saying is that it's the null, JSON null does not mean the empty set.
The problem is that the empty set implies that it's a list.
Right. And we don't want that implication. Yep.
Yeah, so all nothing would be better for it.
It says that there's some kind of structure of the data, that it's a list or a set or one of those mathematical collections. And null, I don't think many people think of JSON null as a set or a list or some kind of mathematical construct. It's just existential. It's not non-existent.
If you look at the document I linked, there is a discussion about null there as well, this working group of how to map relational data to RDF. RDF has discussed this.
Okay. How did I do that?
Exactly. MacTab pasted what I was going to paste.
This has been an ongoing discussion in the RDB to RDF group.
Yes.
So Ted, where is the discussion now? Or is it just they're not generated? Values that are null are just
I believe that, as you see, is where it stands right now.
Okay, and so if that would mean, if we go off of that decision or where it stands right now, then we shouldn't generate an RDF triple for it, and it should not show up in normalization. Therefore, we should leave it as undefined. That's how I'm reading it.
Consider the case where you create RDF from a JSON-LD document with both name null, and then you use Sparkle to look for people for whom we don't know the name. How would we match that? Would we say there is no triple about this person with both name, or there is a triple with insert arbitrary null representation here?
Well, that's the thing, right? It's application specific, it's data set specific, it's undefined. It's going to be different in different places and for different purposes.
Yeah.
And unless we're going to dictate this is how everybody must do it.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Ted.
That's sort of my concern with the whole goal of, we really want a simple spec that makes all these simple things very simple, is that we approach it from our perspective, and our perspectives differ.
Mm-hmm.
Null is a very special thing in the SQL world.
Mm-hmm.
it hasn't quite replicated the same way out into these other data worlds, and that somewhat surprises me because most of them have come after SQL, but the people who have developed a lot of these other places haven't looked so much at SQL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, and in SQL, you have to, you know, you have a fairly static structure in your tables, and you have to say whether the thing has a value or not, and null is an easy way to say that it doesn't. Whereas in RDF, you just, the information doesn't exist, right?
Well, it gets even more entertaining than that, because you can have a cell that has no value. And that is distinct from a cell that has a null value.
Mm.
And that is distinct from a cell that has a value.
Mm.
Null is a special creature, and depending on how you develop your schema, you may say that when that cell is set to null, that means there is nothing to go there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or it may mean that you had nothing to put there, so there might be a value that just hasn't been played.
Mm.
It's environment specific. It's deployment specific.
Okay. Well, then certainly in this case, I feel very, very uncomfortable defining anything for null.
And that's roughly why we're at the same place with the RDB to RDF.
Right. Okay. So, proposal leave support for null keyword in JSON LD is unspecified. Does anyone disagree with that approach?
I'm dropping the second sentence. I mean, the sentence about ignoring it when converting to RDF
models. That kind of falls out because we ignore anything that's undefined or unspecified. We hopefully, I don't know if we have this in the spec right now, but the intent is to have a bit in the spec that says anytime you're converting to RDF or anytime that you're normalizing and there's something that you do not recognize in there, if there's something that's unspecified in there, you remove it, or you don't generate a triple for it.
Yeah, well, but null is a very specific value, and that's the only value for which this applies.
Well, no, I mean, it also applies to terms that are not, that don't expand. It works for prefixes that people are using that in their content that doesn't have a mapping in the context.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's clear. But, I mean, mm-hmm. on the value side, null is really the only case.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. But I think in this case, the reason it's the only thing is because we have clear mappings for, like, the decimal and integer and true and Booleans. Those are clear mappings.
They are not so clear either, I would say.
Well, we've specified in a way that's clear, right? So if it's a JSON, there's a part in the JSON LD spec that says if you have a decimal point, or it's an exponential, an exponent based number in JSON, then you must use decimal. Otherwise, you have round tripping issues. If you don't have any decimal, or if it doesn't have an E in the number, then it is an XSD integer. Right. So we're very clear in the spec on what it maps to. I don't think we can be very clear as far as null is concerned on what it maps to without making somebody upset or angry with what we choose to do with it. And like I said, we can open this up later on if someone finds some kind of, a clear way to address the issue. But right now, I don't feel like there is a very clear way to address the issue.
Well, yeah, the only way I would see is to define such a null concept.
You mean defining, like, JSON colon null, having a JSON vocabulary?
Exactly, yeah.
Hmm. So Dave Lane is saying, could we use a null as a literal value? I don't really know if that's... I've never really seen that done in RDF. I don't even think you can have a null plain literal value or a data type value. I mean, I know you can have like double quote, but I don't know what that maps to in the RDF model. Ted, do you know what that would map to, if anything?
Well, that's an empty value. It's an empty cell. It's a
right.
It's an empty string, but it's not a null because a null is a special thing.
Right. Yeah. So we would be inventing something new if we did what Lane was suggesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can go at this another way. Is there any or how many people are in support of doing the JSON colon null approach that Marcus is proposing? I would certainly have issues with doing it that way. I would feel more uncomfortable doing it that way than leaving it undefined.
Does JSON null have an actual definition that I can look at?
No, we would have to invent it. We would have to invent the JSON vocabulary and specify what null means.
Oh, so there is no JSON null yet.
There's a JSON null in the syntax. There's no vocabulary describing what that means. So Marcus is proposing that we create a vocabulary with a prefix of JSON, so it's the JSON vocabulary, which doesn't exist now. We would create it, and then in there we would specify a term for null and like decimal and integer and other things like that. Yes. But I think that's it's a bit overkill at this point because I don't think we need to round trip that type of data. And again, I mean that completely changes if someone says this is absolutely vital for my application. I need it to achieve my use case with JSON LD.
I just did a quick Google on JSON null, and there's lots of people talking about it. For instance, that returns a true, false, and null. And there you go. Null is that special thing that is, it's like the Monty Python sponge. It's a definite answer, but it doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
Or it means everything is the thing.
Right. Okay, so we could do two proposals here. Create a JSON vocabulary and define JSON null. Right? And that would get in minus one. From me, Nicholas. I'm assuming plus one from Marcus. Yeah. And Alexandra, Lane, Ted, what do y'all feel about that?
No, I don't think we should define it. If it exists, then we can use it, but that takes us into actually defining JSON, and that's way outside.
Right. Yeah, and good point, Alexandra. It could potentially overcomplicate things for people that are new. Okay, and so the other proposal we have on the table is leave support for null keyword as in JSON LD as unspecified. And I'd certainly support that. That's not bad, plus 0.5.
I'd rather say that if we revisit this, that we go down the road of defining something like that, and coercing or mapping that token somehow. Because it apparently is rather application specific, so if people really need it, then we should add a way to do it application specifically. I mean, different by context.
Right. Okay. Ted, Lane, Alexandra, an opinion on this proposal. Leave support for null keyword in JSON LD as unspecified. Plus one, minus one, plus zero. Lane. All right. So let's go ahead and resolve that as being unspecified. And then if someone comes up with a really good use case that forces us to put something in there, define something, then we'll do that. All right. Next topic is, issue 16. One second. So linking instance documents and context documents together. There's the link to the issue. So this is effectively being able, this is the reason that, I'm sorry, going back. What we're trying to do here is be able to have people that are publishing JSON data just continue publishing the JSON data that they have, but then put a link to the context in the HTTP header. So it would be a rel described by HTTP header, and it would link to the context. So basically that would allow people to kind of put the context in and out of band from the actual content of the HTTP response. The positives of doing that is that they don't have to change their data at all, right? That's a huge, huge benefit. The negative is that now we're allowing people to specify the context in two locations, and not everyone is going to have access to the HTTP header. It could be that people just don't have any access at all to the HTTP header, or people can't set the HTTP header. So the other kind of downside that comes from this is this OAuth 1.0 kind of this OAuth 1.0 issue, which is you allow data to be specified in multiple different ways. So for example, in OAuth they allow it as a URL parameter, they allow it in the HTTP header, and they allow it in the HTTP body in the document content. And because you can specify it in those three different places, it makes implementations somewhat complicated in that each implementation has to check all three places every single time it gets a message in, instead of just knowing that if there's a context, it is specified in location X. So I guess the question here, one, is whether or not, or is really how we are going to support out-of-band contexts. Another approach is basically application specific. You hit an application and it's not self-describing. You just know that there's a particular context that you can apply to an API. To data that you're getting from a particular URL. So you just know, because in the developer documentation it says this is the context that should be used with all of our web services. And of course the downside to that is that there's no way it's machine discoverable. It's just, the developer either knows about it or they don't. The other alternative is to require there to be a context specified in all of the data that comes out of the service. And that would require people publishing, currently publishing JSON, to change their application in some way and include a context header. But you have to remember that they're going to have to do that anyway if they're going to put it in the link header, right? If they're going to put it in, yeah. If they're going to modify the HTTP headers, then they're going to have to modify their application anyway. And while they're doing that, they might as well put in an at context line into the data that they're publishing. So I think that
they might need to change the content type if we have a link header.
They might not change.
But
yeah, that's true.
Instead of link state,
yeah, I mean, I think maybe the bottom line is that if they want to start publishing JSON-LD, they're going to have to change their application in some way, meaning that they're going to have to put in a link header, they're going to have to modify content type, and they may need to modify, like put in one context line in the data that they're publishing. And I really don't think that's that much to ask of them, right? I mean, asking them to change the content type that they serve and add one line into all the data that they're publishing, it seems like something that could be done like in a day for most applications. So I guess what I'm saying, my position on this is that I'm concerned that we're adding too many ways to specify something, right? We're adding another feature, and I don't necessarily understand how this new feature enables something new to happen, right? They're going to have to go through the same headache, which is modifying their application. Really, the only change that we're talking about is what part of their application they're modifying. Are they modifying the HTTP headers, or are they modifying the HTTP headers, or are they modifying just the body, or both? Thoughts on this? Is there a preference one way or the other to use a link header to specify the out-of-band context, or to put it in the document itself? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I agree with your reasoning that if someone who publishes data can add a header, then they reasonably can add this to the top of the JSON data as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to consume data which has no context and apply a context based on your own interpretation of the data or some contract defined elsewhere, well, there is nothing prohibiting this from be done. So mm-hmm. you can always take any JSON and apply some JSON-LD context out of band and see what you get.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely agree that I don't think that there will be any new automatic thing nothing new will be enabled with just a header. I doubt that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So principally, I kind of like the idea, but I think that it should be deferred and not be specified until a real need, a sort of aching need, comes up
mm-hmm.
where this has
mm-hmm.
to be specified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. I mean, it would be one thing if Twitter, you know, Twitter or the Google Plus API came and said, hey, it would be really nice if we could have, you know, a context here, and they specify why they need it. But right now, I don't see anyone really, really needing the feature.
No. It's better to try to make them use one way until
right.
two ways are absolutely needed.
Right. I agree. There is, I mean, this content type, there is this, hold on, let me, there is this approach. I mean, they are going to have to change the content type. They're going to have to change that header. And specifying the context in that header, I mean, we could do that, but the problem with that is that then programmatically they may have to specify different contexts, right? They have to modify their application anyway. So I like that approach better than the link header. But at the same point, I agree with what Nicholas is saying. I don't think we should have two ways of doing this when one suffices. So Alexander is saying that he needs the link header for Siebel. Why is that, Alexander? Why can't you not just add a context?
The main reason is that I would prefer my JSON to look really like normal JSON without any attributes and just put the header link in that. So normal JSON people will just get the JSON, and people that want to translate that into RDF just get the header.
are you saying that they would be able to get two different formats, or the Siebel's basic format is JSON-LD, and you just don't want to add context in there?
Yeah, that's it. I would prefer to have a JSON-LD, because so far we've removed prefix and everything, and I would also like to remove the context and just put that in the header.
But I guess the question is, the reason that you want to do it is that you don't want to confuse your developers when they fetch an object and they see this add context in there?
Yes.
Okay. But has that been an actual issue? Has anyone said that they're confused by it?
No, that just from our side, we would prefer to make it as simple as possible. But no one raised the issue so far. What I would like, I mean, if we don't go for that option, at least I would like something in the spec that say that this JSON-LD parser should understand the link header.
And I guess the concern is that the JSON-LD parser may not always have access to the link header. Right, so in documents that are just downloaded and stored, it's not gonna. There's gonna be that piece of information that's out of band that it's just not gonna have. I agree with the, you know, wanting to have it as simple as possible, but I feel that there's the trade-off here that's not worth it. Meaning that, you know, I mean, the downside of including the context in there is that some developers may think it's, you know, ugly or they just don't understand what it's used for. But in those cases, I would expect the developers to just ignore it, you know. They don't know what it is, and they just ignore it and use the rest of the data like they want to.
That's true. The other reason why I like the header is that that's compliant with JSON schema. That is doing the same thing.
Okay, I didn't know that.
And they are also using the describe by.
Okay. Okay. So, Alexander, you'd be a plus one to add the link stuff?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Marcus, I assume that you'd be a plus one as well?
Well, we maybe can discuss if we had... add all four forms, just one form, just two forms, or, I mean, what we really add, or if we had just the content type parameters. Yeah, generally I would like to add it.
Okay, and I think I'm still kind of a minus one. I don't think the added complexity is a good payoff for it.
End, it's kind of metadata. I don't see that as complexity. If you don't need it, you just ignore it. If you need it, you will, of course, look for it.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about complexity as far as the implementations. We're just talking a couple of lines of code, but I think that the concern I have is that some of the processors may not have access to those couple of lines, in the header, and therefore they wouldn't be able to extract any information, any RDF from it. Because of that, I think that...
current situation, which might change in a year, we don't know.
Maybe it might not change, right? I mean, it could go either way. I mean, the way it is.
So we should base the decision based on that fact.
What are you arguing for there? You said we shouldn't base the decision based on that fact, but are you saying we shouldn't base the decision?
I think that there is for sure an issue with JavaScript. A client-side JavaScript implementation of a JSON-LD parser, but I don't see any issues on the server side or a client which is not written in the browser, so to say.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, to be fair, most hypertext formats which use some kind of base feature also often omit the base, because when the documents are published on the web, you will resolve it to the current URL. And in the same kind of reasoning, publishing JSON-LD on the web could use a link out of band in a header, and any HTTP-aware client should be able to pick it up. If you save this data to disk, then you have to add the context reference in the data for it to still be JSON-LD.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I would probably vote plus zero or something like that, because I don't need it, and I believe that we should defer it until needs come up, but we see some kind of nascent needs here maybe, so I wouldn't really mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I agree that it might complicate things.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, it doesn't sound like we have consensus on what needs to be done. So we have a minus one from me, a plus zero from Nicholas, two plus ones from Marcus and Alexandra. Ted, Lane, any thoughts on this particular feature?
I don't have a strong feeling either way. Headers have been an issue for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's the reason why the link head element is in use in a lot of places is because the HTTP headers are out of band.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, it seems they have to be, we have to go with the @context.
Wait, say that again. We have to go with what?
The in document link.
Yeah, okay.
Using the link header, I don't have an argument against having it as an option for those who have the server access.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes it impossible for some client implementations, then it kind of says that it has to be within the file and it can also be in the link header.
Hmm. Oh, I see. So you're saying it's an optional. They can put it in the link header, but it's a must. You must have a context in the JSON-LD document, and you may have a link header specifying it. But that kind of, you know, that's kind of like, well, if it's in the document, then you don't need the link header, right?
Right. So we have heard that JavaScript client implementations cannot deal with the link header placement, so that means that it has to be within the document.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it in the link header may make some things faster, may make some things easier, so there may be argument to have it as an available option.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that fails by not having it in the link header?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that question is no.
So then there it is. Must
right.
be in the document, may be in the header as well.
Mm-hmm. But if it's in the document, there's no reason to have it in the header. So I would say it must be in the document, period.
Is there no efficiency argument, as I just postulated?
I don't know of any.
I don't know of any, but...
If there is one, I don't know. So if there's someone on the call that knows of an efficiency argument for putting it in the link header, please speak up. But I know of no reason, no efficiency argument.
Well, one efficiency argument could be that before parsing the whole data, you could start retrieving the context, for example.
It's true.
Another one would be that you could do a HTTP head request and just retrieve the link header without the whole content.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two. So,
Sure, but I there are two possibilities, but I don't understand what the application, you know, we're talking a difference of microseconds, right? For being able to
microseconds always add up. We're not saying must have the link header. We're saying may. There's a reason for doing that. Mm-hmm. When it matters to you, you do it, and when it doesn't, you don't.
I certainly wouldn't have a. I wouldn't disagree with a must have a context in the document and a may have a link header. That would be fine for me. But that doesn't seem to really address Alexandra's use case, where he doesn't want.
Well, was that a use case or was that a concern of confusion? And that's a concern of confusing sophisticated users.
I think he was concerned about not sophisticated users, unsophisticated users, newbies that are just used to JSON and are not used to seeing app context in there.
And what happens when somebody who's when you're doing development kind of work, you're naturally more sophisticated than the Joe user. So when you're a new developer and you encounter something unfamiliar, what do? You look it up, you ask for help, or you ignore it.
Why
do you argue that we must have it in the document? For JavaScript
implementations? Yeah, mainly and for simplicity's sake. I would like implementations just to have to look in one location to figure out what the context is. I don't want them looking in two different locations if it's not absolutely necessary. And I still haven't heard it's absolutely necessary argument, right? All of the arguments for having a link header have been kind of, it would be a nice to have rather than I must have it. And because we're trying to reduce the complexity of JSON-LD, I don't think we necessarily need this nice to have. I don't think JSON-LD should be a spec filled with nice to have features, right? So in general, the main reason is there are some JavaScript implementations that I'm afraid are not implementable if you do not put the context in the document itself. And then everything else, putting it in the link header is kind of just gravy. It's like it's a nice to have, but it's not an absolute requirement.
But I think it's much a smoother upgrade path than you just have to add that link header. You can even do that in Apache configuration without changing anything in your application.
Mm-hmm.
Not even one line of code.
It's not the servers I'm concerned about. It's the clients. It's the JSON-LD processors that have to go and look at both look at one or the other or both.
But if we're talking about JavaScript clients, we have a lot of issues anyway. There's the cross-domain policy and all that kind of stuff as well.
Sure, that's true. There are other issues there. Those are issues that you. Well, those are issues that you can't get around, right? I mean, you either publish your JSON LD context using cores, or it doesn't work at all. Right? That's a different class of problems from you can't access the link header at all.
You can use a proxy for JavaScript anyway. You can also put that link header, read the link header, and put it into the document.
Right, but again, it's the option to do that that I'm concerned about, right? It's an added complexity that I don't necessarily think's really buying us that much. I mean, it's buying us a nice to have, right? Even in Alexandra's use case, it's a nice to have. It's not an absolute requirement. We haven't identified any cases where the system is non-operational, non-functional. Unless you put the context in the link header, right? But we have identified cases where if you don't put the context in the document, there are applications that absolutely will not work.
That's true, but considering which client you're addressing. If you're addressing JavaScript client, you will put it in the context document. If you don't do that, you don't bother.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is really, I mean, it's, you know, it's not an issue for command line clients or clients that have full access to everything. I'm just concerned about making sure that we, you know, that JSON-LD is just implementable across all types of different languages, and you don't have to be concerned about whether you have access to the HTTP header or not, right? I think we have succeeded in making a very widely implementable spec. If even on the most limited environments, you can use JSON-LD. Right. So we're at the top of the hour. Maybe we can push this discussion to the mailing list. I don't feel like we really have a resolution to it one way or the other, either adding it or not adding it. I feel that everyone does understand the issues, but yeah, I don't necessarily feel like we have consensus on it yet. So maybe we can, Marcus. I don't know if you have Marcus or Alexander. I don't know if you have other concerns that you'd want to voice on the mailing list, and maybe we can take it from there. Does that sound like a reasonable next step?
Sure. Yeah. We can.
Okay. All right. And that's the call for today. Thank you very much, Marcus, for scribing. Have a great week, and we'll chat again in 2 weeks. Until then, we'll keep the discussion on the mailing list.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Yep.
You too. Bye.